He had a Hall of Fame career on the field.
Paul Molitor is the first player in the history of baseball to get a triple on his 3,000th hit.
And now he's making out the lineup card for his hometown team.
I'd like to introduce the 13th manager of the Minnesota Twins, Paul Molitor.
This is the Paul Molitor Show. Your chance to hear directly from the manager on the state of your team. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, good morning. Happy Sunday. Glad to have you on board. The Minnesota Twins looking to win a series later this afternoon at Target Field. They take on the Cleveland Indians. Tommy Malone back off the DL. He will make the start opposite Carlos Carrasco. And we start a full day of programming live from our network headquarters here at Target Field with Paul Molitor. Jack Morris is here. Paul is here. And gentlemen, a fine good morning to both of you. And Paul, last night, great way to lead into this show, watching a young man pick up his first major league win. That's a night he'll never forget.
It was a special night for Mr. Duffy. You know, at bouncing back from what happened up in Toronto, I think we were all hoping that we'd see a little bit more of the things that we've heard about of what he's been doing down there in AAA. And, you know, the timing of it for us, obviously every win's big at this time of year, but to step up and give us some innings, protect our bullpen a little bit, earn himself another chance. We'll run him back out there again next Thursday out in Baltimore.
Paul, it had to be kind of an interesting week with all the transactions, I should say, with the DL and not really knowing what you're going to get out of your starting pitching. And we got that issue again today with Tommy Malone and 2 weeks off. It's got to be a little bit frustrating for you. With that being said, you had a tough week last week with Toronto and Cleveland in Cleveland, and yet here we are today where you could win two home series in a row.
That would be good. You know, when we were up in Toronto, our play as of late, you know, has regressed somewhat. And you try to get a feel and how it's going to get back on track, which it does more times than not. But it was just a hard read because Toronto was on such a high. We didn't really have normal games. They were just lopsided. So, you know, you come back here and some of that normalcy returns is how the games are and the competitiveness of them and how your guys look like they match up on the field, whether it's on the mound or in the box. And we've been able to put together, you know, a good homestand in terms of how we've competed, had a chance to even do a little bit more. We let one maybe slip away a little bit. But, you know, you come out today and find a way with Tommy to hopefully try to get another series win. And you look at a 4-2 homestand, which is a nice recovery from what was a tough week before that.
You said tough read, which reminds me of something that you said in your postgame comments yesterday that we aired in the postgame download about learning personalities. Because you've had some new guys like a Tyler Duffy rotate through. And knowing personalities and understanding what makes people work, I think, is part of what's made you so good at this job. But it is an ongoing process as new faces enter your clubhouse, isn't it?
Well, I think, you know, the coaches and myself part of how you judge how to use people and how long to use people is evaluating them. And that's both their ability and their, you know, the physical ability, but also how their makeup is, how they stand up to challenges and adversity. And I've been around Duff somewhat in the minor leagues, but to be honest with you, I didn't spend a lot of time with the pitchers when I was working in player development. So I saw him in spring training. I got a little feel for him down there. But now, you know, you hear these things, and then you watch him come up here and compete the way he did yesterday, and now you kind of understand why he has the support that he does. I know it's only one start. It's one good one, one bad one. But yesterday was a good sign that some of these things are in his makeup and as well as his ability.
You got to be impressed somewhat, and I know that you're not going to get overly excited about one start, but you got to be impressed with the fact that he was able to keep the ball down, and his breaking ball was good enough that he was able to command it when he needed to and then throw it out of the zone when he was ahead in counts.
That was a big thing. One of the big things we didn't see in Toronto was the inconsistency of that pitch, Jack, and as you saw yesterday in your comments, I think are right on. And that when he flipped it up to the first pitch, it was a quality strike. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't see him hang a lot. They end up in the bottom of the zone, and they were taken more times than not. If they were swung at, they weren't put in play. And then he was able to expand it a little bit, throw a little bit harder even when he had two strikes and got some guys to chase. So, you know, he's throwing anywhere from 89 to we saw maybe 92, maybe 193, but he had good movement. But to have that off-speed stuff at this level is mandatory.
He's going to get another start, and there are a lot of moving parts that go into that. And Trevor May came back. He gave up the home run, but nothing more. He'll not go back to the bullpen. How much of this was Duffy perform so well? How much of this was Michael Tonkin struggle a little bit with the base running, with the base hits? How much of this was that Trevor May's been pretty valuable in the bullpen?
It's one of those things where, you know, I try not to base too much on the Toronto start and not too much on last night. But when I look at our team, personally, I like Trevor May in the bullpen right now. I don't know what his future is going to hold. I think we all think he's going to be a contributor for a long time at a major league level in some capacity, where his utmost value will be. But the shape of our team right now, I like the depth that it gives us out there. He looks like a guy to me, and again, it's only been, I don't know how many weeks he's been out there, but a guy that when he's out there getting outs in the eighth inning, he looks like he's the right guy. The stuff matches up, the composure matches up, and it makes our bullpen a little bit deeper. Duffy throwing yesterday obviously helped that situation, but I you know, bringing Trevor in was not an ideal thing into the rotation, even for one start. Not the way he's thrown out there in the role that we've been giving him.
Yeah, he's just taken to it so well that he's become very, very valuable out there. If you'd like to join the show, it's 877-38-TWINS. One caller already in the queue. It's 877-388-9467. Jack Morris is here. Paul Molitor is here. It's the Paul Molitor Show, and it's right here on your home for Twins Baseball. It's the Paul Molitor Show. We've got our crack producer here in studio. The fact that you bring your own producer, I think, helps the quality of the show tremendously.
Yeah, we spice it up a little bit. Sometime my daughter Julia and Ben help us out. Julia, not here today, but Ben's doing his job. He's excited. He's going to New York later today.
Uh-oh.
So he gets his first experience of the Big Apple with Mom. So looking forward to that.
I have a feeling that's going to be a trip to remember, and I hope the Big Apple is ready for Ben as, as he comes. We got Pete from Fridley on the line, so why don't we go to the phones here again if you'd like to join us. 877-38-TWINS. Pete, good morning, and welcome back to the program.
Oh, morning, guys. I was just going to ask Paul, why is baseball so streaky? For instance, the Yankees, you know, were scoring about 9 runs a game, and then all of a sudden last weekend, they were playing Boston. They had 3-2-1 games in a row, something like that. And then Toronto sets them out 2 days in a row. They go to Cleveland, lose the first two, and now they're back with it. And then Toronto, you know, just couldn't do anything wrong. Was, you know, won 11th straight. I was ready to go to Vegas and bet money on them to win the World Series. And now, you know, they only scored one run yesterday. Why is it like? I just don't understand why there's these streaks like this.
Well, I think it's a fair question. I think people have been trying to find the answer to that because you'd like to have a cure to the ups and downs of a 162-game schedule. Every once in a while, some things are a little bit more tangible in terms of explaining those type of things, whether it's injuries or people getting run down. In the Yankees' case, you know, some of their veteran players, not too dissimilar from us. You know, you show signs of fatigue at different stages of the season. They call them the dog days for a reason, and sometimes that taxes your squad depending how your lineup shapes up and your age of your players and all those type of things. And then some of them are just the nature of the game. I think managers, front office, you love people that you can kind of bank on that find a way to contribute on a consistent basis. They don't have the real highs and the real lows. They're your steady performers, the guys you can count on. But unfortunately, for almost everybody, at some time of the year, you're going to hit a little bit of a downspin, even if your year turns out to be a positive one. So you fight through it. You got a lot of games. You try not to bank too much on any small window, and hopefully over time, the good players' numbers will show up.
I call it the human element.
Yeah.
You wake up every morning feeling great, and I want to ask that question to all the listeners. I don't think that's reality. Paul, as we go forward, here we are in the dog days of August, mid-August. Team still in the hunt for a postseason berth in the wild card. You've got some injuries right now. Typical of most teams, you're going to go through these times. How do you motivate guys this time of year compared to in the spring? Is there a difference for you as a manager? And obviously, you know, you can almost taste the fact that you're close enough now. You know, in spring training, I think you were a little bit more cautious about anything because of the inexperience, and now you've been through quite a bit of it.
Well, it's part of it is like you don't feel like you really should have to say much in terms of guys being motivated to go out there and compete every day. I think you look for signs from certain people, maybe the guys that are a little less experienced or the ones that maybe in a particular area of their season, which is on the downward trend. And you try and find ways to plant seeds that are positive, that gives them some optimism about going out and performing on a day-to-day basis. You know, the whole picture of the extra wild card has changed the dynamics of how you compete in August. You know, we're sitting as a 500 team, and we have hope. That wasn't the case a couple of decades ago. So I think the fact that you're a 500 team roughly and you have a chance, you're dealing with more losses than a team that's, you know, in the past is 15 games over 500 and still might not make the playoffs. So you're dealing with a little bit more failure. And so the mentally tough, Jack, I've heard you talk many times about the mental challenge of a long season. And now with the playoff format being changed, you have a chance, but you have to deal with the losses and be able to put them behind you, learn from them, and get ready to play the next day.
Well, what I've seen is some of the young players have just been outstanding this time of year. Aaron Hicks seems to be better right now than he was prior to the All-Star break. Eddie Rosario's done a great job. Sano, you know, he does have his strikeouts here and there, but he has very good at-bats, rarely swings out of the zone. We're talking about some young guys that are still playing good right
now. Well, I think that's a big plus, because for them to step up and be able to be really some of our biggest contributors into winning games, people say, how can you do it with young guys, you know, dominating your lineup on any given day? I said, well, why not? You know, if they're talented and they're composed and they have some of those makeup qualities that we talked about when we were talking about Duffy, then they might be the guys that emerge to be the ones that maybe carry you to win some of these games down the stretch. You know, you hope your guys that have been around, you know, a little longer, whether it's Torrey or Joe, and then people in the second category like Dozier and Plouffe and those people, Suzuki, you want them to step up too. But when your young players perform, when the games matter, that can only make your club a little bit better, a little deeper.
I'm going to ask you a question that you may not have an answer for. I'm not sure I'd have an answer if somebody asked me, but something I saw with Tyler Duffy when he came to Toronto, his pre-game interviews, you saw a kid that seemed kind of confident, not arrogant, but didn't seem to be fazed at all by Major League Baseball, yet he had never played in the major leagues. And even though he got roughed up and it wasn't a good thing, I saw a guy, and this is just my take, I saw a guy with very little fear at all and confidence. And that was one of the reasons I kind of suspected that he would have the kind of outing that he had yesterday. Do you see that? Do you notice some of those things when you bring guys up and down, and you know, what's in their eyes? Can it tell you a little bit about what's in their heart?
I you know, we go back to the conversations that you trust the people that are helping you make those decisions on who to bring up here. When they tell me that Tyler Duffy has the best chance to come up here and win a game for us, you're going to believe in the people that are watching him and that know him better than we do. Mm-hmm. I think that you're right about the fact that I think he approached Toronto confidently. I think when he got out of the mound, things changed a little bit, especially the way the game started. But he was the first guy after to go in and look at it and what he did and how he got sped up. As much as you want to go out there and you know the mound's still the same distance and dimensions play the same, and you got to, you know, trust what you've done to get here is going to be good enough, there's something about getting out there that first time where all of a sudden a little doubt might creep in, even if you're a confident player. So you try to reinstill those things. I think he rebounded yesterday tremendously in terms of not being overwhelmed by the moment. And that's the kind of thing that you want to see from a young guy.
Very interesting stuff. We'll take a timeout when we come back. Talk about today's starter, Tommy Malone, coming back off a DL stint for a couple of weeks. That's next on the Paul Molitor Show. This is your home for Twins baseball. It's the Paul Molitor Show. Jack Morris is here. Paul Molitor, of course, is here as well. Glad to have you with us on a Sunday as the Twins try to wrap up what would be a 4-2 homestand with a victory over very talented Carlos Carrasco and the Cleveland Indians. Paul, you'll send Tommy Malone to the mound. We're going to hear from Tommy as part of our pregame show. He felt that the rehab went very, very well. I know he didn't want to go on the DL originally, but by taking care of some issues in the elbow now, avoid a bigger problem. What do you see in Tommy? What do you expect from Tommy today?
Well, I'm always encouraged when players come forward and they talk about something, even if it's mild, because you don't want to jeopardize their long-term future as well as putting our team in a little bit of peril by running out there not 100%. especially from the pitching mound. You know, you got a little issue with your elbow, you got to clean it up. And we did the right thing. I'm glad that he was able to get it back on track as quickly as he could. Thankfully, it's only been, you know, roughly a couple weeks, and he'll be back out there today. He's going to be a little limited only because it's been a couple weeks. But hopefully we see the same guy we've seen most of the year, a guy who, you know, gets you into the game, minimizes damage, and gives you a chance to win.
This Cleveland team currently with so many young guys, ton of switch hitters. Do you think a lefty against this lineup is a favorable matchup? Are they, by and large, better right-handed, left-handed, or are so many of them so young that we don't really know?
Well, no, you know, you have your team numbers, and I think overall Cleveland probably fares it's a fairly close match, lefty-right. The Indians, you know, they're a dangerous team for me, obviously. They were picked by a lot of people to be a contender for the division. It hasn't gone their way. They've had some injuries. But now, you know, you can see why people picked them. Their pitching is outstanding from the starting role particularly. And they have some nice veteran players that know how to win. And then they've added some young guys that have come up here kind of like Santana and Vargas last year. They stepped in and they're making big contributions, you know, and Lindor and the guy over third. They just have good-looking players. And we saw in Cleveland what they can do when they get hot. We were able to slow them down a little bit last night. But, you know, we got to play those guys a bunch more too. So we have to figure out how to try to beat these guys.
Paul, a couple questions. Number one, is Tommy Malone on any kind of pitch count today to limit his innings? And number two, you got Carlos Carrasco, who has been extremely hot lately, along with Kluber. These two guys have really been anchoring their staff. Talk a little bit about what you got to face him with today.
Well, I think Tommy will be a little bit limited, Jack. I would think that if there's not a lot of stress to his innings, and you know, we'll have to see how the pitch count climbs. Sometimes that matters as much as the pitch count itself. But I think we're all confident that, you know, if he's pitching well, he could probably give us anywhere from 75, 80 pitches, somewhere in that range, whether that's five innings, six innings, who knows. So we'll just have to see how the flow of the game goes. Carrasco, like you mentioned, him and Kluber have been really strong here. Kluber's really had a good overall year. The numbers, the wins, the losses were kind of mounting early, didn't get much run support. But we've seen what he's all about the last two starts. This guy today, he throws hard. He's got good movement. He's got a split. He's got a cutter. His breaking ball's tough. Righties actually fare a little better. I think they take some of that split out of play. But, you know, when he's on, you got to be disciplined. He's going to try to get you to climb the ladder and expand the zone on you, and he throws hard enough to do that. So you're looking for guys just to have good at-bats. We talk about it all the time. You know, the more you keep them in the zone, the better chance you're going to have.
Let's sneak in our last break. We'll come back and wrap it up. It's the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball. It's the Paul Molitor Show. Just a couple of minutes left, and then Paul's going to head down, fill out his lineup card today as the Twins take on the Cleveland Indians. Any surprises as you ink in your starting nine today?
Not really surprises. We're trying to be somewhat intelligent about who we put out there, especially these day games as we head into the latter stages of the season. I think everybody knows we got two 10-day trips on the horizon here and our next two travel. So it's going to be challenging. I'm going to give Nunez a chance at shortstop today. He just seems to has a pretty good chance against velocity guys because he can hit that good fastball. Shane's going to be out in the outfield today. We're going to give Torrey a blow today, get him ready for Sabathia tomorrow. And we'll have Suzuki behind the plate. Keep Aaron at the top, followed by Doge and Joe and Sano and Trevor and Rosario and Nunez, Suzuki and Escobar will wind it out.
Paul, I know you don't like to look ahead too much, and you know you got to take care of today's game first. But you're going on a road trip where you've got some tough competition again. Team's been struggling second half here on the road. You know, is there anything to it, especially with the pitching staff and the rotation the way it is, the starting staff anyway, to go into a series and maybe pick up that first win against a veteran guy like Sabathia?
I don't know if there's any secrets, Jack. I think, you know, the way we shaped up with New York, it turns out we're going to get, you know, three of our right-handers with Gibson coming off a good start, Pelfrey coming off a good start, although we know he's had a little more trouble on the road, and Santana following up on the last game in New York. It's just going to be challenging. The Yankees are going to be coming off a high regardless of what happens in Toronto today. They're battling it out over there in the East. Baltimore's trying to find ways to get back in the playoffs, of course, and Tampa's still there. So it's going to be challenging everywhere we go. You know, I as a player, I don't know about you, but the home thing is great. You love playing in your home ballpark, but I love the challenge of going playing on the road. You know, you're playing in front of, you know, hostile crowds and games that are significant. You're hoping guys are motivated by that. You know, ultimately it's internal, but when you go to these parks and you see the atmosphere and you know what's on the line, it should be fun for these guys to go out there and try to find a way to compete and win.
Yeah, it's kind of reversing booze into cheers. You've got to learn how to do that. You brought up a good point, though, and I want to ask you about this. This team has obviously made great strides in having Target Field their home field advantage. They've done very well at home this year. Just the opposite is true on the road. As this team moves forward, how do you anticipate the balance being a little bit closer, both home and road?
You know, we've had spurts on the road this year where we've done well. We started poorly. We've been in a little bit of a downward trend on the road lately. You know, as far as home field, your team, your shape, what kind of club can you feel that best gives you a chance to win? I think we all know that Target Field is a field made for athletes. It's a big outfield, speed plays, base running plays, defense plays. So we're kind of trending that way. And I think that's been one of the reasons, along with just the fact that it was brought up specifically, we need to be a better home team to take advantage of people coming into our park, so to speak. The road thing, it's just kind of, I think young guys, maybe a little tougher. You try to turn those, you know, boos into cheers kind of a mindset. But, you know, you go on the road, some of these guys, especially the inexperienced guys, it can be a little daunting. We're hoping that they have had enough experience now, the guys that have been here for a little bit, that won't be intimidated by those environments.
Always good to have you in our environment. Paul Molitor here in studio for this edition. If you missed any of the Paul Molitor show, you want to revisit it, check it out at twinsbaseball.com online. Dig around on the site, and you can pull up any portion of today's program. For Paul and Jack, my name's Chris Atterbury, our producer. Well, he's Ben. He's headed off to the Big Apple. Stick around just after noon. It's Inside Twins across our network right here on your home for Twins baseball.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.